everyone. This is Chris Justy, web admin for pwfinance.com. This is an addendum for the weekly newscast. Some notes that actually literally just broke right after we finished recording. So much news. I had to bring in Jerome Tucson and Ryan Rodzanski. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We've got a lot of stuff to discuss, actually. So it's going to be very, very interesting. One of the issues that has come up recently is the lack of promotion for some for what's going on in New Orleans. Some of that, I guess, has been rectified. We only have one official match announced, but we basically have a concept show for DGUSA on April the 5th.
Yes, so here, I'll get into that. I failed to mention on April 3rd that they did have the Chris Hero versus Trent Beretta in an Evolve title match. We mentioned Dez and I, Johnny Gargano defending against Ricochet. And then, of course, the annual six-man tag team match will take place. Apparently, this is going to be a six-man tournament. Gabe just announced it on Twitter. The four teams announced Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox. The premier athlete brand of Tony Nese, Trent Beretta, Caleb Conley. Green Ant, Fire Ant, and Lince Dorado, and Johnny Gargano, and the Bravado Brothers. They are all set for the six-man tournament at DGUSA on April 5th. Ryan Rodzanski, you're excited for this, correct?
Well, one thing I am excited about is I have never actually done an addendum before. So this is my first time being a part of an addendum. That's cool. I can say that I have been a part of one. But to me, this announcement is... I guess we can talk about that. There will be a lot of tournaments happening on this day, but I guess for me, the first thing that I would have wanted announced before any of the participants is some indication of why this is even happening. I don't, at this point, we don't even know what the winners are going to receive. I'd assume title shots, but it seems like at this point, maybe due to a lack of wow factor in the roster, that this is happening just for the sake of doing something different and doing a tournament. And I think immediately that gets us off to not a great start with this concept show.
I mean, it feels like this is only happening because the tradition dictates that it happen. I think the matches have the potential to be really fantastic given sort of the participants that have been announced, and guys like Fire Ant, Green Ant, Lince Dorado have been in a ton of King of Trios tournaments. And we know the kind of action and the quality that they can deliver. And, so many of these other guys, I'm sure it's going to be a wild and fun night. But I think the problem is always with a tournament like this. And, what is the point? What is the purpose of this tournament taking place? Last year, there was a stipulation put in place that the winner of the Fall of the Six-Man Tournament got a title shot of their choice. Ricochet is cashing that in at DGUSA. This year, so I'm assuming that the winners of this tournament are going to get the same thing, that they're going to get, whatever match they want or some sort of a title match. So I think that's perfectly acceptable. But, I guess the thing that I'm questioning is DGUSA has not run a show since February 23rd. Evolve hasn't run a show since January the 11th. Why don't we have more announcements for the show? When DGUSA is asking people to spend $100, $75 for front row and second row and, all that kind of stuff. And, the travel in New Orleans is nowhere near as easy as it was at Secaucus. I mean, at Secaucus, you could basically fall out of your hotel room and be at the venue. This time, there's going to be some pretty hefty travel for pro wrestling fans. And, I think the frustration that I'm feeling is, even though I'm not going, I want to be able to look at these cards in advance and say, what is it that I'm looking forward to? What are the stories that are being told by these promotions? And I can't imagine what the people who are actually going have to feel. So it's a little weird. It's a little awkward. I'm glad that it's finally happening, and hopefully we have a lot more match announcements before the week is done.
Since I have you guys here, Dez and I talked about this, and Dez brought up a point that I thought was pretty good. If the focus, of course, these are big shows, and we're talking about Ring of Honor as well, and the draw of this is that it's WrestleMania. You have fans that may not be normally paying attention to these promotions. Does it really matter to the casual wrestling fan if they go onto the DGUSA or the Ring of Honor website and they go, oh, look, they don't really have a whole lot of announced, but it's not like they would have recognized many of the talents anyway. So does that matter? I kind of argued that it did, because even if you don't know the talents, at least you see that it's a fully formed card, and your promotion looks better. You know, you look a little bit more professional for that. Dez, though, I think his argument holds some merit, is that if it's a casual fan and they just want to go to a Dragon Gate USA show to experience it, what does it really matter if they know the entire card or not? So, Jerome, I'll go to you first. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, my counter to that is that, you know, what if these are the people who go to DGUSA shows on a yearly basis? You know, what if they went to New Jersey last year and, you know, maybe they do recognize Johnny Gargano's name, and maybe they recognize some of these names. So I think there is value to it. And, you know, someone like Trent Beretta, you know, he is a former WWE star. He may be a recognizable name for some people. And, you know, even someone like Chris Hero. Chris Hero is going to be a big part of these shows. I think there are a lot of even non-indie wrestling fans who know who Chris Hero is. And there is a value to having him on these shows. So I don't necessarily agree with that. And to me, what the purpose of announcing these shows in advance, especially a weekend like this, is these are some of the biggest and most well-attended shows of the year. And I think you want to build up that anticipation in the fans' minds. I mean, there are obviously going to be some casual wrestling fans who are just going to go. But the other thing that, you know, I think is sort of bothersome is, you know, DGUSA is competing with Ring of Honor on night one. To me, DGUSA was at a distinct advantage specifically because they didn't have shows in the month of March and they weren't just being distracted by the New Japan news. So DGUSA could have very easily gotten out in front and said, this is our card for Friday night, and, you know, sort of beat Ring of Honor at their own game and maybe convince a few people who were going to go to Ring of Honor to come to DGUSA instead because they're doing Johnny Gargano versus Ricochet for the Open the Freedom Gate title. Chris Hero is on the show, Trent Beretta, you announce matches for those guys, you announce most of a card, and you've beaten Ring of Honor, at least announcing a card, and maybe you draw in a few extra people. Saturday night, they're competing against WrestleCon, and I think WrestleCon is the type of show that might draw in, you know, maybe you're going to draw in a Ring of Honor fan, who attended the afternoon TV tapings, isn't really into the Hall of Fame, but they're looking for a wrestling show to go to. What are the names that they're going to recognize? They're going to recognize guys like Michael Elgin and Kevin Steen. And they're going to see Kevin Steen is wrestling Masato Tanaka. I mean, that is a match that I think has a lot of interest for people, because it's not something that Ring of Honor or DGUSA or even PWG can really deliver on. I mean, Jeff Jarrett and Colt Cabana, maybe that's not going to be a five-star match. But, you know, I think there is a certain segment of the audience, particularly those in that area in New Orleans, you know, a sort of a more southern atmosphere. I think there is an appeal to a Jeff Jarrett versus Colt Cabana match, even if it's not going to be, you know, super indie-rific with a lot of maneuvers and moves and stuff. And, you know, I think for the CZW crowd, you've got your Masada and your DJ Hyde. You know, Michael Elgin is a part of the show. So the advantage for DGUSA to put these announcements out was not only to draw in casual fans, you know, to say, these are our cards, this is what we're putting forth, but you're also competing with other independents or, you know, near independents as what Ring of Honor is.
Ryan, yeah, what else do you have to add to that?
Well, I think even if we were considering just strictly casual fans that might not be familiar with Dragon Gate USA at all, I think one of the advantages of announcing the card in advance would be, from that point on, you could, for instance, create video packages or try to educate the fans, the strictly casual fans, a little bit more about the product. So if I don't know who Ricochet and Rich Swann are, but I know that they're going to be in this six-man tag team tournament as a team, it would be helpful for me to see maybe footage of them teaming together in Dragon Gate Japan. Or when you have a team maybe in this tournament like the Premier Athlete brand, and someone like Caleb Conley has recently joined them, I think it would be worth putting together a video package, at least having it available online, of Caleb Conley turning and joining the Premier Athlete brand. And so even these casual fans that don't know or haven't seen a Dragon Gate USA show before can at least have a sense that they know what's going on. And I think that's more important than a lot of people give it credit for. One of the hardest matches to watch last year for Dragon Gate USA was the Bravadas winning the titles off the Young Bucks. And I think the crowd was so hostile towards the Bravadas because I just don't think they were... I think a lot of them just weren't really following the story closely enough. And because, I mean, it wasn't amazing or anything, but you did see this progression in the Bravado brothers. I did get the sense that in the months prior, they were being groomed to become the next tag team champions. And if you're familiar with the Bravados, in the least, I think you know that, you know, they went to Japan. They started off as pretty goofy in Ring of Honor, and they got a lot better. But I think all the crowd saw that night was, well, the Young Bucks are awesome in the ring, and the Bravados are very good, but, I mean, they're not doing the things that the Young Bucks are doing. And so then you get this hostile crowd that maybe if they were more familiar, they might have been a little bit more receptive to the Bravados. So I think especially when you don't have a really great reason for, like, this six-man tag team tournament to happen, you at least want to give the fans as much information as possible so you can get the right reactions from them when the show actually happens. So I think it's just the advantage of announcing quite in advance is it's an education process. And if the casual fan is paying all this money to go see this show, I think there is an incentive for them to want to educate themselves on what's going on with the show.
I agree, but hopefully we'll get some more announcements from Gabe about the Dragon Gate and Evolve shows. And, of course, Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann is also set for Evolve on April 3rd. So I did want to also add, while Dez and I were basically previewing shows coming up this weekend, I was completely missing Ring of Honor is presenting Flying High March 22nd. Of course, this takes place in Dayton, Ohio. Some of the bigger matches announced, Jay and Mark Briscoe versus Adam Cole and Michael Bennett, AJ Styles versus Chris Hero for the first time ever in Ring of Honor, Tommaso Ciampa versus Matt Taven, and Kevin Steen versus Bobby Fish, Michael Hogan versus Cedric Alexander, and of course, others as well, including Kyle O'Reilly, The Decade, Silas Young, Caprice Coleman, and Adrenaline Rush. So, guys, Jerome, we have a schedule to talk about. Why don't you let our listeners know about this?
So, a little bit similar to last year, things are a little bit different this year because Chris is not going to New Orleans. Ryan, Kevin, myself, we are not going to New Orleans. So, we're actually going to be able to watch things on iPay-Per-View, God willing. I mean, that's... ugh. I'm giving iPay-Per-View another chance against my own gut instincts telling me to not do it. But because it's WrestleMania weekend, it's one of the biggest weekends of the year, Ryan and I are going to give WWN a shot, and they're really the company. They're really the companies that are going to get the most coverage over the weekend. But before that, we are going to have three preview podcasts the weekend of, or the week before WrestleMania. First up, Ryan Rozanski and myself, we will be previewing the WWN Live Experience. We will be going over all of the matches announced. Hopefully by the time we record at that time, we will have full cards for both DGUSA shows, Evolve, A Wrestling Odyssey, and at least the main matches for Shimmer. So we're going to be previewing all five of those shows in about an hour, 90-minute podcast. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And Ryan, I know you're looking forward to going over some WWN in a preview form that week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic that we will have matches to talk about. And I'm also optimistic, Jerome, because you said that it would be fun. And if you think hanging out with me for an hour and a half is fun, then I'm doing my job.
For sure. In addition to that, we also have Chris GST, Ari Berenstein, and myself. We will be doing the Podcast of Honor, where we will be previewing what Ring of Honor is doing on Friday, April the 4th, and Saturday, April the 5th. They, of course, have Supercard of Honor. As we sit here right now, they have one match announced, Adam Cole versus Jay Briscoe, in a ladder war for both the Ring of Honor world title and the Briscoe world title. Again, we are hopeful that they will have more matches announced for that show, or else it is going to be a very short Podcast of Honor. I failed to mention that Ryan Rozanski and I, we will also be discussing the WrestleCon show that is taking place that very Saturday. Since WrestleCon doesn't really fit in with anyone else, Ryan and I will cover that. And Chris, Ari, and I are going to talk a little bit about the Super 8 tournament that is taking place on Saturday, April the 5th. And then Matt Waters, Kevin Ford, and Justin Houston they will be recording the official Pro Wrestling Ponderings WrestleMania preview, where they will be discussing all of the action. It is going to be a ton of fun, and I am very much looking forward to what those three have to say. And I believe that I haven't told Kevin officially this yet, but hopefully they will be the ones, because there's going to be a Tag World Grand Prix first round that takes place at Wrestling Is Fun the same night as pretty much everything else in the wrestling world, Saturday, April the 5th. And hopefully they will be able to discuss that. So three big podcasts that week. We will not be having a weekly newscast. There will be no fan to fan. And it's going to be a busy, busy week at PWP. And then what's going to happen over the weekend, Evolve is actually going to be running on Thursday. Ryan Rozanski will be having live coverage on the site. I will be doing the live tweeting of that show. And then Ryan and I are going to come together and record for about a half hour or so, just reviewing Evolve. We're going to do the same thing on Friday for a Wrestling Odyssey and the DGUSA show that is taking place. We will do the same thing on Saturday for Shimmer and DGUSA. So over the weekend, there'll be at least three podcasts coming from the WWN side of things. And then we will see what happens. Ring of Honor is scheduled to do a VOD. They do not do live iPay-per-views. So whenever Ari and Chris can get together to record something about that, they will do so. Ditto for the WrestleCon show. Ryan and I will at least get into a little bit of conversation about that. Chris, I don't know. Do you want to watch WrestleCon on Saturday and just talk about that show afterward on the podcast?
I mean, I could. I definitely could if I can watch it live, yeah.
That'll be all fun. Right, so hopefully we'll have that covered for you as well. It's just going to be a ton of fun, guys. I really hope that you can continue to support what we're doing here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, support the podcasts. Last year we had a big written preview. I'm not sure if we're going to get a chance to do that with the timing being what it is, and also the fact that these companies have just done a terrible job of announcing matches. It's very, very annoying, but it still should be very good. There's a lot of strong talent. I have confidence that, you know, Ricochet and Gargano is going to deliver, and the six-man tag team tournament will be fun. So let's be optimistic. But that is our schedule, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Any questions, Ryan? Are you ready to go? Do you feel daunted?
No, Jared. No, I am ready to go. Although I have spent the past couple of minutes trying to spell addendum, and it turns out I can't spell addendum, which is kind of depressing. But besides,
well, Ryan, given what you're doing in school, you should probably learn how to spell that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope to be a part of more addendums moving forward. But 1D or 2D, I mean, that's all going to be irrelevant WrestleCon weekend. So I'm excited.
WrestleMania weekend. Hooray, wrestling!
Yes, this should be a lot of fun. So anyway, thanks, folks, for listening. Hope you enjoy the newscast. And Jerome, Ryan, thank you for joining me. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another weekly newscast here at pwponderings.com, where we try to cover all the news in independent pro wrestling, and there is quite a bit of it this week. My name is Chris Giusti. I am the web admin. I apologize if my voice sounds kind of weird. My allergies are just destroying me. But to help figure that whole thing out is Dez Delgadillo. Dez, you're always my co-host. How are you doing, sir?
I am. Thank you. That is my my claim to fame. That is my accolade. When I submit my resume to companies, I say, at the very top, before I even get to my name, I say, I am the co-host of the PWP Weekly Newscast with Chris GST. And more times than not, I don't get the job. But it's going to work one day.
I think it absolutely will. Just as I noted on Twitter earlier, just don't add that you weren't even born yet for the WWF steroid scandal. That was kind of depressing.
Is that really a measurement of job worthiness? Were you born during the steroid scandal?
Hey, it was a big deal, man. It was a big deal.
Sure. At least I don't refer to VHS tapes as fat DVDs.
Hey,
I'm not that young.
That's a step up there. So, Dez, obviously, tons of news coming out of this weekend. We had lots and lots of results. Just wanted to throw this out there. Go to pwponderings.com. Of course, you can find all the results there. We have two new sections, kind of. One section is revised and is now indie results. And, of course, we have a new little subsection of news. Obviously, we're always trying to make things better at PW Ponderings. We've listened to a lot of your emails and comments, and so we're finally doing it. We're creating a news section and separating them from the indie results section. So go check that out, obviously, on the front page of PWP. We also wanted to throw out there, before we get into the news, we want to thank everyone who used our High Spots link this past week, always helping us continue the website, do what we do, help us get some of those DVDs, VODs going so we can provide you with more reviews and, of course, more podcasts. So thanks again for that. Really appreciate it. Dez, we're going global with results today.
Let's start off and leave our comfort zone and head over to Europe, because there's a big tournament every year that happens this time. And every year, I think the indie community gets their finger on the European pulse for a little while. And hopefully this time we can keep our focus there instead of just staying there for a weekend. But we had the 16-karat gold tournament this past weekend, Chris. And your new 16-karat gold champion is... I wish we had a drum roll, because if we did, we would play it. And then I would say Chris Hero, who beat Axeman in the final over the course of the three-night tournament. And also, night two saw the unified world champion Tommy End defend against Jonathan Gresham. Three nights of awesomeness, Chris, there from WXW. And I assume, because I know they have a deal with Smart Mark Video now, we'll be seeing that relatively soon.
I would assume so. Also, you can also check them out on Vimeo, where you can download or rent their events for only like $10, or you can own them for $14. I've used that service. I think it's pretty great. But if you don't have a Vimeo account, of course, go to Smart Mark Video. I mean, Dez, this was a huge tournament. It had guys like Tommaso Ciampa involved, Adam Cole, which I thought was kind of interesting. In the finals, you know, you saw Chris Hero defeat him, and I was like, huh. So Chris Hero kind of got his win back.
Well,
in some ways.
It would have been cool also to see like Adam Cole, who's currently the Ring of Honor champion, currently the PWG champion, also be the 16-karat gold winner, which is another huge feather in the cap for people. I know there was a year where like Generico was the PWG champion, and then he won the 16-karat gold. So it's like this is another one of those stepping stones. I think an indie wrestler. And if you're an indie wrestler and you're listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's one of those things that you want to add to your list of really cool indie accomplishments. A, be flown out to Europe, period, to do things. And B, participate and win this tournament, which is a really big deal in Europe. And by the way, this tournament had so many layers to it, so many big wins and upsets and things. And we have full results, detailed results of the tournament if you head over to pwponderings.com and take a look at our very detailed results section.
Yeah, I mean, it also involved guys, you know, not necessarily all in the tournament, but Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, as we said, Adam Cole's over there, Trent Beretta, just a ton of top names from the United States going there and facing some of the top talents in WXW. But Dez, some other big news for Ricochet in particular. You know, he didn't just stay in WXW. He went global again, and he won titles. He brought home some gold. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so from Revolution Pro out in the UK, the Inner City Machine Guns, of course, that's Ricochet and Rich Swann, who we've seen in PWG lately quite a lot. They defeated the Swords of Essex, which, if you're not familiar with Essex, it's a place in the UK that nobody cares about. They won. That was, by the way, it's a team of Will Ospreay and Paul Robinson. So they're your new Rev Pro British Tag Team Champions. I think that's pretty cool for them. That means we'll be seeing a lot more of them in Revolution Pro, and they've really started to forge their own niche there in the company. We've seen over the past couple shows get taken over there time and time again, and it's cool for them. We also had the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, beating Project Ego. That's Chris Travis and Martin Kirby. Plus, Marty Scurll beat Colt Cabana to win the Rev Pro British Heavyweight title in overtime, 3-2. In an Iron Fist match, just like an Iron Man match, but more violent, I guess.
I would assume so. I mean, there may be some type of loss of translation there, but I'm pretty sure it said Iron Fist match, so we're going to go with that. And yeah, you know, Colt Cabana, I believe he won this title, I want to say late last year. Not sure. Maybe early this year. Anyway, I mean, I think it just shows how many of our stars are just going international. I think it's great to bring that that kind of connectivity to independent pro wrestling. You know, and obviously we try to keep up with it, but that sometimes, you know, it's quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a cool scene. They want integration. If you read about these British stars, you know, they do some great stuff over there, but sometimes it takes a more known guy like an American talent to go over there and give the British stars a rub, and also give the British fans something that they don't get enough of, which is American stars going over there. So we're a little spoiled here, Chris, by all the greatness we get. So it's cool to have our British counterparts in places that nobody cares about, like Essex, go out there and get their stars. And I don't even know where Essex is. I'm just attacking the first city that comes to mind.
I'm just, everyone, just send your hate mail to Des Delgadillo on Twitter. Just send it that way.
I will not read it.
So let's come back home and talk about FIP, who ran two iPay-per-views this weekend, Everything Burns and Ascension. Some of the major results from this: the Florida Heritage Championship changed hands when Lince Dorado defeated Gran Akuma with a flip tombstone to win the title. He would then defend it in a four-way the next night against Biff Busick, Tim Thatcher, and Gran Akuma, and he retained it. So big win for Lince Dorado and FIP, so pretty happy for him. We also saw the defense of the CZW world title. I mean, imagine that, Des. You're watching FIP. You know that Trent's in Germany, so you're like, wait a minute. There's no FIP world title match here. Well, we got CZW instead. Drew Gulak defeated the British Messiah, Timothy Thatcher, and Roderick Strong, both times with the ankle lock. So, you know, kind of obviously a cross-section. We know that the Dubberman Live experience and CZW have a working relationship, and this just obviously furthered that. FIP will return May 2nd at the Orpheum in Ybor City, Florida. So, Des, you're one of your favorite companies, AIW. Big night for them, and a lot of big nights for some of the talents there. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we had the Gauntlet for the Gold this past Friday night, March 14th, Pi Day. Shout out to Pi. And this again is like a starting point for AIW's build to Absolution. The starting point here, the AIW tag titles, the Jollyville Fuckets beat the Batiri to retain their titles. You also had Ethan Page with his valet, Silesia Sparks, beating Bobby Beverly in a match that would put him at number 30 to enter the Gauntlet for the Gold. But, well, we'll see in a second if things didn't pan out that way. Tim Donst also beat Eddie Kingston, and Donst challenged Alex Shelley, and Kingston attacked him with a chair, so that wasn't very nice. For the Intense title, we had Lewis Linden beating ACH to retain. Linden's been champion, I think, since August, and he's done a really good job as champion, so we'll see where this goes. He's beating all of the kind of rising stars in the company right now. For the AIW title, Michael Elgin defeated Andrew Everett, so he retains that title. And then the Gauntlet for the Gold, which will give somebody a shot at Absolution for the title. Think Royal Rumble, but much more awesome and AIW-like. It was the Duke, Jock Sampson, Eric Ryan, and Silesia Sparks, and Christian Faith, who were entered in mystery spots. But mystery spots did not help in this year, because Tim Donst was the winner of the Gauntlet for the Gold, and justice has finally been served, because people have been ducking Tim Donst for so long. He's finally going to Absolution, and he's finally going to get his big title match against whoever the champion is come Absolution time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, if it is still Michael Elgin versus Tim Donst, I mean, That's a match you really wouldn't see anywhere else. So I'm kind of excited for that. So congrats to Tim Donst and everyone else at AIW. From what I heard, I mean, all the tweets I saw, fantastic show. So I'll be looking forward to it on VOD or DVD. So our friends over at PWX also ran three shows this past weekend. We're really only going to mention two of them here, because the third that occurred on Sunday were TV taping spoilers. So you can go to PW Ponderings for those results if you really want to see them, or just wait till you check them out on television. The Queen City Rising results happened on the 14th. Cedric Alexander defeated Shane Strickland, and PWX champion Caleb Conley defeated the returning Do or Die Chip Day with a cradle shock to retain his title. And then, excuse me, Also, in enemy territory, Dawn of a New Day, Caleb Colling retained his title when he forced the King of Swerve, Shane Strickland, of course, to tap through the O-face. So Peter Beck's doing a lot of good stuff, a lot of talents there coming out. Shane Strickland, of course, getting, I think he's best known for CZW, but he's obviously getting a lot more bookings than other places. So happy for him, and hopefully you'll see it on TV somewhere. I do know if you go to pwxpro.com, they do host their TV shows. I'm not sure whether they post them the day of or maybe the day after, but they are in their own local market, so you know, maybe they're limited by that. But you could go check out their past TV episodes there. 2CW held their 100th show, and one of the bigger announcements was AJ Styles versus Johnny Gargano. It was announced for the 2CW show on April 18th, and that will be on iPay-Per-View. The 2CW Heavyweight Championship changed hands, and you know, Isis effects. He went up against Slick Wagner Brown, that ended in a count, and then the next night he lost his title. But on the 100th show, we saw AJ Styles defeat Kevin Steen. I believe they were the first promotion to book this match, at least according to a Kevin Steen video. So that's kind of cool. Maybe it'll come out on iPay-Per-View, or maybe they'll release it on their DVDs. Not sure, but I'm looking forward to seeing that match when it happens. And then, Dez, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention APW. They made their return on the 15th at Bayshore Bash. I believe this is the first show they've run since Roland Alexander passed away. And kind of a fitting way to close out the show, the Rock legend Adam Thorne. So he defeated Drake Younger to retain the APW Universal title. Of course, this being Drake Younger's, I don't want to say his last match before he goes to WWE, because he is scheduled to be on other promotion shows, but this was his send-off from APW, and he paid respects to Roland Alexander and the fans and said that he would always be a Northern California professional wrestler. So kind of a feel-good moment there for those fans that were at the show.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And then last but not least, Evolution Pro on the 13th held St. Patrick's Beatdown. The major result of that, Reed Bentley defeated Madman Ponder to attain his EPW Elite title. You go to PW Ponder's right now and check the updated results that we have for that show, including where you can watch it for free. So, Dez, let's get into some of the news. Ring of Honor, this whole New Japan thing, it's getting way out of hand. But they've announced more talents as of this recording. So we're recording this right now on Tuesday. So if by the time you're listening to this and it's Wednesday and we didn't mention who was announced, apologies. But they have announced Kushida and Takaki Watanabe. And, of course, the update is from, as I said, today. But the other wrestlers that they've already announced, Gato Ajedo, Shinsuke Nakamura, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Kazuchika Okada. So, Dez, I mean, we could kind of assume that we may see the time splitters. I mean, Alex Shelley, he's coming over to the United States for a couple indie shows. I don't know, but I'm really excited for some of these, and especially Takaki Watanabe. He's kind of a, I believe he's one of the younger talents in New Japan. So we get to see them, of course, here in the United States. I think that's kind of a thrill.
Yeah, it's cool to see them get, especially like the younger guy, get a shot coming over here. And what a thrill that is for him, too, coming over to the U.S. and getting to work with the established Ring of Honor guys. But either way, it's going to be awesome for fans in Toronto or New York to get to watch this stuff happen in the New Japan. I mean, if you're a Ring of Honor fan and if you're really plugged into things, then you're probably also a really big New Japan fan, since Ring of Honor, you know, if you watch it, kind of maybe not so much anymore, but a lot of the wrestlers there even now study New Japan like crazy. So not only is it going to be awesome for fans, but I'm sure it's going to be really cool for the Ring of Honor wrestlers, too, to get to wrestle like Tanahashi or Okada, because those are two, especially Tanahashi, is pretty much lauded as being the best wrestler in the world right now. So it's good times, man. And just as a fan, I'm really looking forward to May.
Yeah, I am, too. I mean, obviously, we don't want to overlook Super Card of Honor, but really, the New Japan shows, they're the ones I think everyone's kind of looking forward to.
That's cool, right? Because like you have something, because you have the big show, WrestleMania, and that's the one where you have Cole and Briscoe in the ladder match, which is awesome. And then, but then when it's over, you don't have the typical period where it's like, oh, well, you know, the big show's over, now it's just stuff's going to happen, because they did a good job of promoting, and now you have a big show for May. So it's like, it's instead of going down, it just you keep staying up in this case. If you like, you keep staying on that wrestling high.
Well, I actually I wanted to talk to you about this. I don't want to dampen your mood here, Des, but Supercard of Honor, it's coming up, and really, we don't know that many matches. I've seen quite a few people I follow on Twitter talking about this. at this moment, really, WrestleCon has done, and in my opinion as well, the best of letting people know what the matches are on the cards. But when it comes to Ring of Honor and the WWE Live experience, we really know next to nothing, and in some cases, nothing about what is going on those cards. Like I said, I don't want to try to dampen your mood on that, but to that's kind of ridiculous that we're 3 weeks out, and especially for Ring of Honor, we know two matches? Maybe one? I mean, I'm going to look it up right now, but let me hear your thoughts on that. I mean, is it that are people going to the Ring of Honor shows and they're just saying, oh, you know what, it's WrestleMania weekend, we're going to get the tickets, you know, people are going to come and check us out of curiosity, but at the same time, Des, if you don't have anything announced, why would I be curious?
Well, I think that's the mentality Ring of Honor is counting on. I'm not saying that's the mentality fans are going to have, but Ring of Honor has come to be almost dependent on this WrestleMania, this the runoff from WrestleMania weekend, because all these fans flock to the WrestleMania destination and they want to watch wrestling. That's maybe not WWE, because WWE can't run wrestling 24/7 unless, you know, you watch the network. But so, you know, I think that's the mentality that they want fans to have. But also, I think, too, that there's a big, big interest, and at least it could be. I haven't watched TV in a couple weeks. But, I mean, just the fact that the way they've told the story between Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole, I mean, there's a big interest in watching these two have a ladder war. And, like, I'm interested, and I haven't even watched the TV. So I think there's stuff that can be done there. And I think that's a big enough match that, you know, if you wanted to sell it, to sell a show on the back of like two guys, I think Jay and Cole would be a great, great pair to do that on. But yeah, I mean, if you wanted to announce more matches, it's not like it's going to hurt you, but I don't necessarily, I think this is the one show a year where it's like, well, it's Ring of Honor, it's WrestleMania weekend, they're going to have a big outing, so let's just go.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I'm looking on their website, they only have the ladder war match announced. And I agree that Cole and Briscoe are big enough stars, but you know, you got to put your best foot forward, especially when you know there's going to be a lot of eyes on you that maybe wouldn't be on you necessarily. I mean, yes, Ring of Honor fans, we all know Supercard of Honor is important during the year. But if you're just a casual wrestling fan and you're there and you're like, oh, what's this Ring of Honor about? I'm going to check out their website. Oh, they only have one match. Then, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
I find that kind of disappointing.
But then again, if you're a casual Ring of Honor, if you're a casual fan and you see Ring of Honor, will it really make a difference if they have more matches announced? Because if you're saying you're a casual Ring of Honor fan, then who? Why would you know who the other guys are anyway?
That is a good point. I mean, I think it's also, though, it kind of speaks to, like I said, it's not just Ring of Honor. It's WWE Live. You know, their Evolve and Dragon Gate shows, they have nothing announced. And I'm looking at their website. There's nothing.
Yeah, I know what's happening.
And even though in 3 weeks, this is the, these are some very important shows, not just for the fans like us that kind of follow it, have our finger on the pulse, but for casual fans as well. And I understand what you mean when you say, well, if they didn't really know of it before, they wouldn't maybe necessarily be disappointed to not know what matches are coming out. But at the same time, what does that say about your product? That, you know, we hear WWE fans, or, you know, even us, complain sometimes when a pay-per-view is coming up and they barely have any matches announced. I think it's the same mindset that if, you know, 3 weeks out from what is supposedly big shows and you don't give us anything, well, I don't really know what that says about your product.
Yeah, I can't speak to WWE Live because I haven't been following them at all, so I don't even know what to look forward to. The only reason I can speak to Ring of Honor is because they've, in my mind, done a good job of building up their marquee match, and I think whatever
they
else
absolutely
they
absolutely have, I agree with you there.
And I think what else they put underneath will be like a supplemental thing, but you know, WWE Live is a totally different island because I don't know what's happening there, and they should really do a better job of telling me what's happening there.
Dez, Johnny Gargano and the Bravados. What more do you need to know?
So who is the tag team champions? Is it still the Young Bucks, or did I think they switched the titles, right?
Yes. So the Bravados are the champions in DGUSA. The FIP champions are Roderick Strong and Rich Swann. And yeah, okay. I was about to say, and the Evolve tag team champions are, and I was like, oh wait.
Oh, maybe that's what they'll do. They'll create Evolve, and they can automatically be seen as more important than the United Gate champions.
Just don't go there. Just don't. I mean, obviously we know that Ricochet is going to face Gargano. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, yeah, it's very similar in the sense that they're building up on these marquee matches, which is great. But yeah, you gotta give me a little bit more than that.
Although, are they going to do the six-man that they always do?
Yes, they have promised that the six-man. Maybe they're still finalizing talent on that. Okay. Not entirely sure. And, of course, my memory is what it is. So maybe they even announced in a newsletter. But when you go to their website, it's not there.
So. I will give them kudos for that because that is my favorite match, like one of my favorite matches every year. So, I mean, I don't even care who's in it, but that's going to be super fun.
Oh, of course. I agree with you there. I think that's going to be probably one of the better matches of the entire weekend. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know who's in it, so maybe I shouldn't say that yet because, you know.
It'll be like all big guys just to throw you off.
Hey, maybe Sting will show up in Dragon Gate, right?
No.
No? Not happening?
No, Chris. No.
That's a shame.
I'm afraid I have some bad news.
I'm sure you do. All right, so why don't we, you know, that's pretty much all I wanted to say about that, just because it is, for me, slightly disappointing. It sounds like, Dez, it's not that disappointing to you, so that's the way it works. Ring of Honor is also going to run the Road to the Best in the World Tour on the 6th of June and 7th in Carbondale and Collinsville, Illinois, so check out the information at rhwrestling.com. Let's go to CZW and talk about their Best of the Best taking place on April 12th. It's going to be on iPay-per-view. Generally one of the more, I guess, technical wrestling isn't correct, but it's not about death matches and hardcore. This is about, quote unquote pure wrestling, just a different style than what we assume we would get from CZW. Obviously they've held this tournament for quite a while, so I think anyone that knows the history of it, pretty much you know what you're going in for. But this year, this tournament, it's going to feature Tim Thatcher, Lucky 13, Chuck Taylor, Bucks Belmar, Caleb Conley, Andrew Everett, AR Fox, Biff Busick, Papa Don, Azrael, Speedball, Mike Bailey, and Drake Younger. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, they're going to name a number one contender for the CZW World Tag Titles, either OI4K or the Juicy Product. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The one thing I wanted to mention also for CZW, for the Best of the Best, is it's different than what you would expect from CZW, but generally, the person who wins it, they kind of, I don't want to say that they get behind them a little bit more, but when you think about it, there are guys in it such as AR Fox, who I would say probably a perennial favorite.
Yeah.
But then there's guys like Caleb Conley, Andrew Everett, Biff Busick, heck, even Tim Thatcher, or maybe even Chuck Taylor, who could come out of this the winner, and then you kind of wonder, okay, what is CZW going to do with them? Because they are kind of different. It's no longer about the guys who can, take panes of glass over the head, stuff like that. And, of course, Drew Gulak being champion, he's really showing that CZW is more about the wrestling now. So I think that's kind of different. And, of course, there's Drake Younger. You throw him into the mix. Of course, it is being reported he is signed with WWE, so who knows what's going to happen there. So, Dez, I guess what I'm kind of asking is, given the participants already announced, does this Best of the Best, do you have a little bit more intrigue in what's going to happen and what this means for the future of CZW?
I think you have all these guys who will be a huge part of CZW's future involved in this tournament. And that's really the goal of the tournament every year. You always have people talking about, maybe not so much going in, but always afterward, you get a look at who's going to be a huge part of the company the next year, who's going to be helping to carry the company the next year. So I think Best of the Best is always a great preview of that. It's a great little looking glass into the next year in the combat zone. So I like that. And I like the fact that you have, Drake Younger's name batted around in there, because that's like, you have the future, but you also have, I think, what's going to be a CZW farewell or something close to it. So it's almost going to be like a passing of the torch type of deal, I feel. So there are a couple elements here that no matter what, it's going to be the Best of the Best. And every time you talk to a wrestler who's competed in it, they have nothing but cool, good things to say about it, because it helped them gain that exposure and things like that. So I think it's always a great look and a great setup for the next year.
So one of the matches that, WrestleCon announced coming up, CZW World Heavyweight Champion Drew Gulak against Chris Hero versus Michael Elgin. And they announced that for their show. That's kind of interesting, Dez. We have Michael Elgin in a CZW ring. I'm intrigued by the match for sure. Gulak versus Hero, when it first happened, we all understood why there were some time constraints and whatever was going on there. But throwing Elgin in there, man, that's a pretty interesting twist. I'll be I don't know. I don't even really know what that's supposed to tell us. Because obviously Michael Elgin, he works for Ring of Honor, but
yeah.
He's going to be on a WrestleCon show.
The lines are being very blurred this time for WrestleCon. It almost makes it feel a little more important because you have these sort of crossover things happening.
I agree, and I'm slightly more intrigued by this. And of course, the other bit of news coming out of it is Sting. Sting's going to be at WrestleCon. He's actually going to be doing an autograph signing on Sunday.
Oh,
I believe from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. So Dez, we all know where he's going to be at WrestleMania Sunday.
That's right. I thought you were going to say that Sting was going to compete in CZW in an ultra-violent affair match, but I guess not, huh?
No, he may be added to the Jeff Jarrett and Colt Cabana. No, I'm not.
Don't even start spreading rumors, Chris, because tomorrow morning you're going to see PW Ponderings reported that.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
No, I really don't. But it is interesting that he's going to be at WrestleCon signing autographs, and hey, it's right down the road from WrestleMania. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
I've heard rumors that he's ready to point his bat at somebody in a menacing fashion.
Well, you know who else is going to be at WrestleCon? Dez Goldberg. So, anyway.
No.
Let's get off this. That's, you never know, Dez. You never know.
I do. No. And no.
let's talk about some Chikara, Dez. Some
Yay!
Stuff. Their event on June 21st, it sold out in just 12 days. So guess what they did, Dez? Just for us.
They made more.
Exactly. They made another one. The event, of course, it's going to be called the Quantum of Solace, and then the interactive fan event, they are calling that the expansion pack. So you can go to chikarapro.com/store for tickets. But I think that's kind of cool. You know, I can't promise that I'll be in Chicago around that time, but if I was, and I was interested in going to something like this, I think it's kind of neat that since there was such a demand for it that they decided, hey, let's give a little bit more to the fans. And of course, Chikara being gone for as long as it is, you know, I'm not saying they owe it to the fans, but it is kind of nice that they're listening to the fans. Just out of curiosity, I don't know if you got a chance to go to, I believe it was, you know, something. Yeah, I don't know if you went, or did you hear anything about it?
I didn't get a chance to go that night. Other things came up, but you know what? I haven't even heard anything about it. But I haven't actively been looking for stuff, so I don't know. I'll find out and give you a report next week.
Would appreciate that. But of course, Chikara coming back. Go to chikarapro.com. Check it out. Beyond Wrestling has a big event, Critical Acclaim, coming up this weekend. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on the show. But Dez, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. They started a newsletter.
Yes.
And instead of putting, you know, match announcements, videos, whatever, what you would expect from a newsletter, they decided to go with a kind of weird, controversial, I don't know what to call it, but essentially the article is about Chris Dickinson and his thoughts about the quote-unquote Ring of Honor regulars that are coming to Beyond Wrestling lately, like Kevin Steen and Michael Elgin. And the question that was posed was, should we support Dickinson against the Ring of Honor regulars? And then, of course, we all found out Chris Dickinson is not going to be at this event this weekend. Drew Cordero put out a video that we'll be posting on our Facebook page. But, man, it's interesting because I can see where Chris Dickinson's coming from, because he's been with Beyond since the beginning. And now you have, you know, guys with, you know, probably bigger names in independent pro wrestling coming into what I would think he considers his promotion. But at the same time, this brings a lot more eyes to the product.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this?
What the hell does this mean? Like, I don't even get it. I'm looking at it from a promotional perspective, and I don't understand. Like, yes, obviously we want to see Chris Dickinson versus the Ring of Honor regulars. Who doesn't want to see that? You're trying to drum up, I guess, some sort of curiosity aspect, which just saying, hey, here's Chris Dickinson and Ring of Honor guys like Steen and Elgin. That's, I don't get the whole controversy.
I think the idea is that he doesn't want them in the promotion.
Then fight them and beat them and get them out.
Which I think he could. Dickinson, he's a scary man. I'm not afraid to say that.
Hey, I haven't read the newsletter, so I don't want to like knock Beyond for something that I haven't even read. But from what you explained to me, I don't get it. It sounds odd, and I guess they're just trying to find a cool and fun angle for their newsletter, but just do a newsletter.
Well, I will say this, Des. At least they can spell schedule correctly.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about some CWF Mid-Atlantic, some of the news coming out from this past weekend. We'll have, hopefully, results coming up on the website. But Zane Dawson, he defeated Shane Helms for the PWI Heavyweight title. That's big news. I mean, Shane Helms, obviously well-known, especially in the North Carolina area, but obviously worldwide because of his time in WWE. So this is a big thing for Zane Dawson. Hopefully you can check out the video that they posted up on their YouTube page. It's youtube.com/CWMidAtlantic. But check that out. I think that's kind of a big thing for Zane Dawson going on going forward. Dez, AAW, it's all over the place right now, isn't it?
It is.
It's everywhere. We have a new podcast talking about AAW, new AAW articles on PWP. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying tons of news coming out. We're going to be previewing their epic event coming up this weekend later on in the show as well. Just wanted to throw this out there. Their Matty GTV episode, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this Tuesday night, it's tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, it is tonight. Go to Matty GTV. Look it up on the Roku channel. You can also check them out on YouTube. But this week's ep, it's episode 3. It features a frantic four-way. More of Eddie Kingston and the Monster Mafia. So that's pretty awesome, I would say. And if you haven't checked it out, they're pretty easy. I would say, you know, it's an hour, I believe, if you watch it on the Roku channel. And if you watch it on YouTube, it's a little bit less than that. But check them out. I fully encourage you. I don't know, Dez, I know you're a busy guy. I don't know if you've checked them out lately. But I would encourage you, if you're kind of new to the AAW product, to check it out.
Yeah, this is the place to start, right? This is a new starting point for fans.
And then, of course, their 10th anniversary, the Schools In podcast series that we host on our podcast. But I encourage everyone to go look them up, School of Everything Else on iTunes with Kevin Harvey. He had a tremendous series of podcasts with Jim Lynham, Danny Daniels. I believe the current one is Dan Lawrence. I haven't listened to it yet. But if you wanted to know anything about what it takes to run a successful indie promotion, I really encourage you to check these podcasts out. Lot of fun, and especially it's just a different side of the business. You know, we talk about the wrestling and the matches. Let's talk about the other side, what it takes to run a good promotion. So check them out. I encourage everyone to do that. Take No Prisoners occurs March 29th in Pontiac, Illinois. I believe it's their debut. They've already announced Shane Hollister with Scarlett versus Michael Elgin. Matt Cage defends his heritage title against Merrick Brave. And All Ego versus Lewis Linden. And then the return of Rhino as well. So check that out. AAW, of course, doing lots of good things. Dez, some big AAW news was announced this week. Why don't you tell us about it? It concerns the J-Lit. Two names have been announced.
That's right. Tim Donst and former Absolute Champion Ultra Mantis Black have been announced for the J-Lit. And for anyone who got the fan-to-fan with Kevin Ford a couple weeks ago, you already know that Kevin Steen is going to be involved on those shows, despite AOW not announcing it yet. So they want to, for those unlucky folks who do not listen to fan-to-fan or this podcast, they're going to be pleasantly shocked when they find out that Kevin Steen is involved in the J-Lit, Chris.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Of course, the J-Lit, it's something I look forward to every year. It's one of those DVDs that you just kind of blind purchase. You know, even if I didn't know who was on it, I didn't know what happened, I think I would just buy it. Kind of like Absolution or Gauntlet for the Gold, you know? But of course, they've already announced Tim Donst, who just won Gauntlet for the Gold, and Ultra Mantis Black, who's a former champion. So I'm looking forward to it. Let's see who else they announce. Dez, House of Hardcore is coming to our part of the world. They're coming to Valley Center, California. Don't really know where that is. Sorry.
I believe it's like in the San Diego area, I think.
So you're going, right?
Dude, well, it's 2 hours away. So if I have a free day and want to make a two-hour trek, I might go.
Well, they've announced that it does happen in June, so you got quite a bit of time to figure it out. But they've announced Terry Funk, the Young Bucks, Tommy Dreamer, all confirmed. So
I like all those guys. I mean, you know, I mean, Terry Funk ain't wearing no mouthpiece. So, you know,
yeah, you never know. But hey, June 14th tickets, of course, for them will go on sale soon. They might even be on sale right now. So go to House of Hardcore. I believe it's houseofhardcore.net for the information.
Or just Google House of Hardcore. You'll find it. We trust you. You're smart.
No one uses Google. Does no one?
That's true. I just started using Chrome, but whatevs.
IWA Mid-South, they announced this. Reed Bentley, Dez, he's going to face Jeff Jarrett at Thunder After Thunder, Sunday, April 13th. Jeff Jarrett does in an IWA Mid-South show. That's happening in 2014.
It's happening. That is a fair assessment of these events. They are happening.
What is your... Do you have any thoughts? I mean, obviously, Jeff Jarrett, mostly known for TNA, but he's doing indies now. And, of course, there's talk about him possibly doing a promotion. You know, he hasn't technically announced it. They've done these videos, which are kind of
April 7th.
Yeah, we'll find out the Monday after WrestleMania, correct?
Yes.
So, very well timed for Jeff Jarrett, but still, I don't know. Does he, I guess, do anything for you, you know, when... I don't know. It just doesn't do very much for me when he's announced. I'm sorry.
I don't know. He's a name, I guess, but I was never a really big Jeff Jarrett fan ever. So for me personally, no. Hey, but if you're a fan of watching a guy hit somebody in the head with a guitar, then this should be something that you're excited for.
Yeah, with a little firecracker taped to the top of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, Reed Bentley, obviously, he's an up and comer in wrestling, so this is obviously a big test for him. But still, I can't say Jeff Jarrett really does very much for me. So why don't we talk about something a little bit more interesting? The Fight Brand, they have announced Jasmine versus Leah Von Dutch at their Fight for Cancer event on April 13th. They've also announced Rhino is going to be at the show. So this is obviously a very good. It's more like a charity event and obviously just focused on the wrestling, but still all the proceeds, not all, but proceeds obviously go to a good cause. So check that out, fightforcancer.ca for all the information there. And then, Des, before we get out of here, I have to announce our friends, they have created a official website for Danny Havoc. You can check out twitter.com/DannyHavocSite for the information, or go to deathmatchdrunkard.wix.com. Or just search for it, Danny Havoc website or Danny Havoc on Twitter.
Google is your friend, but not Bing, because Bing is evil.
There you go. So, Dez, there's obviously a lot of upcoming shows this weekend. We do have an article on the website right now listing a lot of the shows occurring. Three of them, though, that we wanted to point out. Why don't you tell us about the AAW show coming up on Friday?
Okay. You got the AAW show, Professional Wrestling Redefined. It's the 10-year anniversary this Friday, March 21st, from the Berlin Eagles Club. You want the address, Google it. Show starts at 7 o'clock, so you can be there and enjoy the program. In the main event, we have the Men of the Year versus the Irish Airborne. That's going to be a tag team championship match, and... What else do you have here? Oh, look, you have Alex Shelley versus Silas Young, Shane Hollister, and a question mark versus Colt Cabana, and another question mark in a pick your challenge match. These question mark guys are coming out, you know, out of the woodwork, these mystery partner guys, but I wonder if they're related to Trent question mark. You also got Merrick Brave versus Knight Wagner. Maybe it's Wagner, depending on where he hails from. And you've got Hailey Lovelace versus Silesia Sparks, one of my favorites. Plus, you've got the AEW Heavyweight Champion of Shane Hollister with Scarlett. You got the AEW Heritage Champion, Matt Cage, Colt Cabana, Jimmy Jacobs, Eddie Kingston, Alex Shelley, Kyle O'Reilly, Silas Young, Zero Gravity, CJ Esparza, and Brett Kakaya. Kung Fu Manchu. Louis Linden, Marion Fontaine, Jintai Miller, Ryan. You got a lot of people on the show, so that you should go see them in Berlin.
Absolutely. I believe our own Jerome Cusan will be live tweeting the show.
Yeah.
So follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/PWPonderings. Also, International Wrestling Cartel, they return to the White Oaks Athletic Association March 22nd for Uncivil War. The bell time is 7:30. Some of the matches already announced. Dalton Castle defends the IWC Championship, and John McKinney delivers the State of Team Big League. That and so much more. Of course, Dalton Castle defending against Joseph Brooks of Team Big League. Facade, the former IWC Tag Team Champions, they collide. He's going up against Johnny Gargano. That could be a fun match. John McChesney against Jimmy Nuts. The return of former IWC owner Norm Connors. And then, of course, a lot more to be announced. Go to IWCWrestling.com for all the information. And then, of course, last but not least, Beyond Wrestling, Critical Acclaim, 7:30 p.m. The doors open in Providence, Rhode Island at the Fete music. First time ever, Chris Hero versus JT Dunn, Tommaso Ciampa versus Drew Gulak in a submission match, Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish going up against Team Tremendous of Dan Barry and Bill Carr, and then Matt Tremont goes up against Matt Tremont and Anthony Stone go up against Nicholas Kay and Mike Quest in a no DQ match. Michael Elgin faces Jimmy Jacobs, Eric Corvus versus Jaka, and more. So go to lookmanofans.com for all the information, or just look up Beyond Wrestling on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, Dez, that is about it for all the news this weekend. I mean, as you said, lots of news, and of course, you can always go to pwpinings.com to catch up on all the results and news there. Dez, you do stuff on the internet. Tell our listeners about it.
Sometimes, yeah. My website is thingsdezsays.net. On Thursday, we're coming out with Throwback Vibes, March of 1998. So we just jump in the wrestling time capsule and tell you all the stuff that was happening in March of 1998 in ECW, WCW, and WWE. And it's always fun to look at things with hindsight. So that's always a fun show. And it's always very long. So grab popcorn and sit back and enjoy. I'm also doing a blog now called The Blind Man Bloggeth, which I have a lot of fun doing. That's out now. It comes out every Tuesday, and I just kind of talk about whatever happened in my life that week. And for more, you can just follow me on Twitter at Dez Delgadillo. Oh, I also have a really fun interview coming up on Saturday. Chris, I don't know how familiar you are with Bitcoin.
I am very familiar with it.
Okay, well, there is a singer-songwriter out of Santa Monica called Laura Saggers, who has written the first ever Bitcoin love song. It's called 10,000 Bitcoins. It's up on YouTube now. She actually had a marketing campaign for a week or so where you could only buy the song with Bitcoins. And now it's available on iTunes and stuff. She's going to be on the show on Saturday to talk about the clever idea and other stuff. So
Dez,
that's going to be on the Cold My Pop show on Saturday.
Dez, I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Take a wild guess at who was just announced in the J-Lit.
Oh, my God. Is it Laura Saggers?
No. Oh. Buff Bagwell, though. Almost as good.
What?
I am not joking.
You are out your mind.
No.
This is
literally breaking news.
Let me say this in breaking news. Breaking news out of Absolute Intense Wrestling. Buff Bagwell entered into the J-Lit. Contestant number 3. Wow.
Yeah.
The silence says it all.
I really think it does.
I can't. Wow. Okay, I can't even. We should, leave.
Yep, this is it. That's the end of the podcast, folks.
I'm so glad you found that before we...
Yes, this is...
But before we go, Chris, I mean, I know you're shocked by this. Where can people find you and read about your shockness?
Yes, let's talk about this. So we want to thank everyone for listening. Of course, you can find everything I write at pwponderings.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/pwponderings, of course, for AAW results and tons of other results. Facebook.com/pwponderings, where you can find us posting news, results, videos. As I said, though, we have a new news section on the website. So go, of course, pwponderings.com for all our DVD reviews, articles, columns, everything, tons of stuff. I believe we actually just released the PWG DDT4 DVD review. So go check that out by Matt Waters. Of course, if you want to contact me, CGS Tong on Twitter, and then cgstong@pwponderings.com is my email. For Dez Delgadillo, thank you for listening. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Well, Bagwell.